hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I have a special guest with me today. His name is Pete Fulci. He is the founder and the principal of Second Wind Finish Strong, providing professional speaking, training, and coaching. Pete, welcome. It's great to have you with me.
Well, hello, Jeremy, and welcome everybody who is listening. Thanks for having me on today. I always enjoy these conversations. So, again, thank you for the opportunity today.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we've known each other for a while now, going back years, really to the Christian Chamber in Central Florida, yep. And then at the college where you came in and were presenting to our people at a conference we hosted, also to classes I taught. And yes. Then even now we've had you come in where I'm at currently and present. So we've had many opportunities to intect and yeah. We were talking about this, this podcast here. I said, I wanted to have you on to talk about the idea of how do we get people moving towards their goals? How do we get them to the finish line? I know you have a talk around that, but I wanted to start with the idea of your company and when you started it and this idea of Second Wind Finish Strong. Can you talk about what came, you know, what brought that to life? Like, what was the idea behind Second Wind Finish Strong?
Yes. Well, I have 30 years professionally in food service and hospitality, and enjoyed that career, worked with Darden for many years. But back in May of 2014, decided to venture out on my own. So I'm actually coming up on 10 years of doing this. Throughout my career, working with restaurant managers, I just had a passion for pouring into leaders and developing leaders and helping people grow and helping people develop. And in some cases, helping people see themselves differently and believe that maybe there is more, that they have more in them, they have more potential yet to accomplish. So Second Wind Finish Strong is my leadership organization. As you mentioned, I am involved in doing keynote speaking on the subject of many different subjects around personal development, leadership development. I also do workshops and classes, and then also do individual one-on-one coaching. And so Second Wind Finish Strong, a lot of what I did at Darden or with Olive Garden, we can talk about it later, but a major project that involved revitalization of our 55,000 employees. So it was kind of a second win. And so I'm into helping people find their second win and continue with that and to finish their journey strong, whatever that journey might be. So there's definitely some professional application to all this. There's also some physical application. As some of you out there may know, I am a marathon runner. And so I've had the pleasure of myself. I've run almost 50 marathons now or so marathons, ultra marathons, I lump them all together. But I've also, even greater than that, having a chance to help 50 others, more than 50 others now, run their first half or full distance marathon. So there's application that way. And of course, there's the spiritual application of Second Wind Finishing Strong also. So yeah, I enjoy it. And that's my passion. And so I'm glad to always have it, always excited to talk about it.
Absolutely. I can tell. I was always. Love the energy you bring and the passion for what you do, which is clear. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that marathon piece. Uh-huh. As you know, every time we talk, I think I bring it up because I am definitely not a runner. I think I've tried to run, you know, I have really bad shin splints. And so I just go for the elliptical. But even if I could run, I just don't know about a marathon. Take me back, if you will, to your first one. Like, how did that come about? And just what was that journey like to take and complete your first marathon or even train for it?
Great question. I'm growing up in high school and I played varsity sports, but I was not a runner. I did not like running. I always dreaded the end of football practice or end of basketball or end of our tennis, because our practices, our workouts, because we had to run. I dreaded the end of practice. I didn't like running, but in college, I kind of was after my varsity sports days were done, I had to do something to try to keep in shape. So I started jogging. I remember completing my first lap around the track and my first two laps. And I remember completing four laps around the track, which was a mile. I said, oh, I got my first mile. So it wasn't something that happened overnight. But my junior year, somebody gave me the book called I'm Running to Win. And it is a it's a story of a runner, a gal who was not a runner, was inspired by watching the Boston Marathon. And I'm Running to Win is based on 1 Corinthians 9:24, where Paul encourages to run our race to win. So that was the book that kind of challenged me to think, wow, could I do something like this? So it just gradually 5K, 10K, half marathon, and my first marathon was my junior year in college. Back in 1981, I ran the tw that was the old City of Lakes Marathon back in Minneapolis. Four laps around two lakes. So that was my very first marathon over 40 years ago. So I'm dating myself, of course, but so I've just kind of stuck with it over the years. I'm not fast. I'm not built like a runner. I'm 6'3", 200 pounds. So that's not an ideal running physique or body or whatever. But I just enjoy completing the races. And now the last, I would say now 13 years, 'cause I've got a running ministry at my church. The last 13 years, I've enjoyed helping others to complete their marathon. So that's a little bit of how I got started in this. And like I said, it wasn't an overnight thing. I'm not naturally gifted as a runner, that's for sure.
Wow, what a story. So much there. I even just going back to the idea that you didn't even like running.
Oh,
So for you to go from, hey, I don't even like this, to now running as many marathons as you have to helping so many others, how, was it just a gradual progression where you did start to like it?
I did start to like it when I started liking the end result of it. And of course, as you start to train, you learn different principles that translate over to life, really, in terms of focus. And to train for a marathon, you've got to exhibit patience. And people ask me, what do you think about? I certainly don't think about running when I'm actually running. I'm thinking about other things. I've got, thinking about music, or I'm thinking about definitely something else I'm focused on when I'm running. So I got to the point where, again, I like the end result of the running. And there's something about reaching that finish line. There's something about looking back after you cross that finish line and say, I did it. So it's a thrill for me to be able to do that, but it's also a thrill for me to be with that runner, because a lot of the runners I train, I actually run with them, and I actually will run the race with them. And I've had many conversations where I've said to so and so who's training, I said, there's the finish line about 800 yards ahead. This is what you train for. I said, as much as you are feeling what you're feeling right now at the end of running 26 miles, I want you to enjoy this moment because you've earned this moment. You're about to finish your first marathon. And of course, they're in tears and it's an emotional moment. I'm in tears. And it's a beautiful thing that you just never forget when you cross the finish line yourself or you cross the finish line with somebody else. So it's like that end result that kind of pushes you through to kind of keep you on, especially on those days where it's dark in the morning and you're out there and trying to get your miles in to get your proper training in. So.
Amazing. I love everything about what you just said. And so I'm curious, and you touched on it a little bit, but what is that end result? What is it that happens when you finish a marathon that you go, man, that was all worth it, and I want to maybe do it again? Like what's happening at that moment?
It's a great question. It's that kind of that sense of accomplishment. I accomplished something I didn't think I could do. So it kind of gives you a new perspective on you and your life and what's possible. And you bring up a good question because my goal is not just to have somebody complete their distance, but I'm hopefully that they're prepared well enough that it's not one of these, I will never do this again. I want them to feel good at the end. And I can say most of the time that's the case. I've had a number of runners that have said, I want to continue with this. Some other runners said, I'm one and done. I'm good. This is fine. On to something else. That's fine too. As I've mentioned to my runners, I said, you are now a marathon runner. You have accomplished what I forget the latest statistics, but it's like less than like 1%, about 0.3% of the population has ever done anything like that. So I said, you're part of that marathon club. You have, and you'll, that's something you'll never, no one's ever going to take that away from you. You are a marathon runner. You've completed your first marathon. So
Wow.
that's kind of the byproduct there. If you're just taking that with you, as yeah, I accomplished something I didn't think I could accomplish. And I learned some things about myself, and I learned to overcome self-doubt. I learned to overcome, talk about perseverance. I know we'll talk about that too, but just that you learn to kind of the crossover from doing something like that to other parts of your life is tremendous.
It is. There's so much application there. I love the point about pausing to have perspective at the end, where you say,
Yes.
what you say 800 yards, I think is what you said, or
Yeah.
whatever distance you are, you
Yeah.
see it, and just to kind of take that in
Yeah.
and say, hey, look what you've done. We're almost there, and I guess just to appreciate that as you're about to finish.
Yes. Yep.
That's really neat. Yeah, that I'm just I love everything about it, Pete. And I guess my question is, what keeps you going now? Because you've run so many. So what is the motivation? Knowing, and you touched on it, hey, we all love the marathon. Hey, I'm on the stage. This is the game day. This is the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But it's those hours and hours and hours of training,
Right.
of doing things that you really probably don't want to do. You're working by habit, not by emotion, because hey,
Yeah.
I've got to train, right?
Yep.
I've got to get myself ready for the Super Bowl, the big event. And how do you keep yourself motivated these days doing that?
No, great question, Jeremy. And it's interesting because throughout my life, most of my years, early years, there were some times where I trained with someone else that was running the same race or that was running marathons, but most of the time, running by myself. These last 13 years with the running ministry that I have at my church now, part of my motivation is again helping those who say, "Hey, I'd like to try something like this." And by the way, I work with folks that are looking to run their first mile, their first 5K, their first 10K, and that's perfectly great. It doesn't have to be a half or a full distance marathon, but that's motivating to me to help them to accomplish, again, for them, their marathon might be that first mile, or running their first very first 5K. So that's the motivation for me because again, I'm the age where I'm at. I do. I've been running now for 40, let's see, yeah, 43 years now. So I do have it as a goal out there to make it to 70. I'm 62 right now. I don't mind telling you that. I do have a goal that I hopefully can still run the distance of 26.2 miles when I'm 70. So that's kind of one of those goals that are out there, but for me. But my motivation really right now is other people, I'll expound here. We have a theme with our group called Together Has Power. We
Okay.
have shirts that say Together Has Power. And what the principle is so many times I'll hear from a runner, and I've experienced it myself, where when you're running with someone, training and going the same direction, and it's so much more powerful when you're doing it together versus doing it solo. And I'll have runners that'll tell me, and I've experienced the same thing. Today I ran so much better because I was running with a group versus the other day I ran by myself. Or I feel much stronger today because I'm with the group. So it validates the power that we're built and designed for relationships and working together as a team. And so whether it's the marathon and running together that way in your professional environment, you're much stronger working together versus trying to do it by yourself. I mean, in the church, fellowship, we're designed for fellowship. So there's a crossover on that. So we call it Together Has Power. We are much stronger together than trying to do things as individuals. So that's part of the motivation for me is there are mornings where I get up and I run by myself, but I'm always in contact with other runners throughout the week, and we do run together on the weekends and do stuff like that. So it's more of that connection with the other runners that kind of helps keep me motivated.
Yeah. Wow. Great point. Because it's very easy, I think, as we talk about this idea of goals and trying to accomplish something, when we as individuals set out with a goal, we can easily abandon that goal if we don't engage or involve anyone else, right? I can
Right.
set this goal, not tell anyone about it, kind of get started and then go, yeah, you know, that was a little hard. I'm not, running's not my thing. And then just give up on it. But
Yeah.
no one else was the wiser. And so I kind of gave up on it. And obviously that's going to affect me in various ways. Like, I didn't accomplish another goal. But I think to your point, if I now engage someone else and say, hey, let's do this together,
Yep.
you've got that accountability, that encouragement, that extra, support to help you when you go, hey, I don't think I can do this. I want to give up.
No, you bring up a great point. There is such a power to the accountability piece that people are going to ask you how you doing with whatever that goal is, whether it's a weight loss goal or financial goal, whatever it might be. How you doing with that? And the encouragement piece. That's so important. So, when it comes to goals and staying on task with your goal, again, it's tough to try to do it by yourself and not have anybody that's checking in on you. And again, it's not like it's like a hammer kind of thing. It's like, hey, how you doing? I'm just checking in. And it is, we do need people in our lives that will challenge us and say, hey, I think there's more for you out there. I like what Zig Ziglar said. Of course, I've got a lot of his quotes memorized, but he says a lot of people have gone further than they ever thought they could because someone else thought they could. So,
That's a
the
good
power of
one.
encouragement. And so we when it comes to goal setting, whatever that goal is that you're setting, a scholastic goal, health goal, professional goal, financial goal, career goal, family goal, to have someone that's close to us, that's not afraid to ask us, not afraid to challenge us, and will encourage us along the way as we're moving forward towards that goal.
So good. And I had not heard that Zig quote. That's a good one. I've heard a lot of his. I like that a lot. Well, I don't want to spend too much time on the running, but it is an amazing metaphor for everything you do. I do want to ask a couple more questions just about it.
Sure.
Just curious. So what do you do on this 26-mile journey? You said you think about other things. So do you listen to music at all? Or do you just kind of you just running and thinking?
That's good. Some people will put earphones on and whatnot, and the caution I have with earphones, here's the coach coming out of me, is if you have earphones, you're not going to be able to hear from a safety standpoint. If out on the road or during a race, if somebody's calling out instructions to you, you might miss that. So I always encourage people to just have it as where you can hear it, but you can still hear others around you. But to your question here, I use something called compartmentalization. And let me use the Disney Marathon. The Disney Marathon is a great marathon for compartmentalization because I've got a brand new marathoners I'm working with. It's you start out of Epcot, okay, and then you head over to Magic Kingdom. So you break up the race, okay? I'm leaving Epcot. I'm now heading down World Drive. I'm heading down to Magic Kingdom. I get to Magic Kingdom. Now I'm in Magic Kingdom. I'm gonna head over to Animal Kingdom. From Animal Kingdom, I'm gonna head over to, well, they don't use Wild World of Sports anymore. We run by there. We used to go in there, but here's Hollywood Studios. And so you've got different parts of the race where you can say, you can break it up and say, okay, for this 5 miles, I'm doing this. For this 5 miles, I'm doing this, So you break it up and into different compartments. And so that's how I kind of I and that's with any goal. I would encourage you to break it into smaller sub goals. Okay, I've made it to this point. I've made it to this next point. So set some benchmarks with your goal setting, because there are some goals that are you might be working on a long term project. I'll share my biggest professional project I have ever worked on was a project called Revitalia with Olive Garden. It was a 4 year project. And Revitalia was way back in the late 90s, early 2000s. We were revitalizing the Olive Garden in terms of the physical look of the buildings, and the atmosphere physically, but we also want to revitalize the atmosphere for the employees. And we so that's and so that that was my focus. For 4 years, I was in charge of this, helping to revitalize culture, revitalize spirit. And you don't revitalize culture and spirit overnight. That doesn't happen overnight. But we broke down our regions of North America and through a 4-year process and some very intentional training we put in and different experiences we took the employees through, so that at the end of 4 years, we got to the goal of revitalizing the culture there. So again, you take your projects out there. Some of you that are working on it or trying to bring a product to market or try and break it into smaller pieces. And that's what, so I do that in the marathon. I do that with projects I'm working on and try to break it into some smaller pieces, some more bite size, if you will, components of it.
Excellent. Great application. Last question about running, I think. I might think of another one. So I'll leave that open.
Yeah.
But no, the flag, I have to have you talk about that.
Ah.
Because again, just that additional
Yeah.
element of we're running these 26 miles, and then years ago, and you could talk about the idea behind it, but you started carrying a flag. I mean, a big flag, not one of these handheld flags.
Yeah.
This is a big
Yeah.
flag. You're carrying it while you're running. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I certainly can. Yes. Well, Jeremy, I've always had a very big heart, and appreciation, deep respect for our military, our veterans that have served our country, that have sacrificed for our country. And I also, deep down, have a gratitude for our nation in general. We live in the most blessed nation, in my opinion. And yet we're not perfect, but we are very blessed to be part of the United States of America. So
Yes.
back in 2019, I had signed up to run the Marine Corps Marathon in Washington, D.C. And I'm always looking for kind of new challenges, if you will. So I kind of challenged myself, could you run 26 miles holding a full-size American flag? And obviously the flag to honor our veterans, and just and the flag is my represent or representation of my gratitude for the United States. So that was my goal in 2019, running the Marine Corps Marathon. And as I trained and as I experienced that marathon, experienced the reaction of our veterans, the reaction of people in general that saw the flag, I thought this is something I want to continue to do. So since the 2019 Marine Corps Marathon, I've continued to run with the flag. So I've run other marathons. I've done ultra marathons. I have now put in about 6,300 miles running with the flag. In fact, just a year ago this past weekend, I ran a 12-hour ultra endurance trail race over in Inverness, Florida. I ran 43 miles that day with the flag. So that's my longest distance running with the flag is 43 miles. But again, it is just amazing. Just I just to see our I, also I mean veterans. When I run into folks that have been here from or that have immigrated here from another country, they're cheering. I mean, a lot of people are cheering. I mean, some people don't. So that's okay. That's fine. That's not, but with those people that express, and so I'll run into folks that have moved here from other countries. They see that flag, they're just clapping. They're cheering. So, but anyway, the motivation is to continue to encourage our veterans. Our veterans are having some unique battles in their lives that you and I aren't battling for most of us. And so anyway, my big heart for the veterans, and again, gratitude for the USA.
Powerful. Do you say 6,300 miles?
6,300 miles I put in with the flag. Yeah.
Man, I feel like I haven't accomplished anything. Come on, 6,300. No, I was like to joke with you about it. I know you're humble and you probably don't even want to talk about it, but it is an amazing, again, just metaphor, a picture of stretching yourself, doing something that maybe at the time just may feel like, man, this is a daunting task, and can I even do this? And then you do it, and you find out you can, and And then you keep doing it, and then you see how you can use that to inspire others, to appreciate
Yeah.
others, to probably motivate people who go, wow, look at that. Like, where am I not stretching myself? And I think maybe going back to goals in general, I feel like a lot of times you could tell me what you think on this, but we do play it maybe kind of safe, right? Like we set a goal that maybe it's not big enough. Do you think that happens? Do you see that where we limit our potential by setting small goals?
That certainly can happen. And I know when I teach goal setting, there's an acronym called SMART, which stands for specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and time-bound. And so the R in SMART stands for realistic. So it is important to have carefully evaluated the goal to make sure, because especially for someone who is totally new to doing any kind of goal setting, writing down an action plan, all that. You want to, I want to see them succeed. I want to have them build momentum. Hey, I made it. Versus to set something that's so far out there and it really is unrealistic right now to go for that. Okay. Let's go for this now and go for that later. But so there's that delicate balance of having something be a challenge and stretching you. But you don't want to set something that's so far out there that it's just not realistic for you to make it. Maybe it's not the right time right now to be. And that's another thing we ask in goal setting: is it the right time that I pursue this, given everything else I've got going on? So, yeah, there's that delicate balance of making sure I'm stretching myself. Well, I got it, but yeah, sometimes we can gravitate towards maybe a goal that did not stretch us, but. I always want to see somebody kind of build some momentum there with their goal setting. But yeah, goals are meant to stretch us. That's part of the objective of setting these goals is these are things we've never accomplished before. So it is a stretch.
Yeah, great distinction. And I think when I'm processing this and thinking of the overarching goal, like this vision, maybe of, hey, this is where I want to go, to your point. Well, hey, let's start here and get to step one. Let's not just
Yeah.
go to, let's not go from A to Z, right?
Yes.
Let's go to
Yeah.
B and incrementally grow using the marathon as an example. I'm assuming, again, just assuming, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but if someone came to you and they said, Pete, I want to run a marathon. You said, great. You're going to encourage them, and I'm sure you're going to be excited for them that they even have this idea. But then they say, but Pete, I've never even run a mile. My guess is you're not going to encourage them to enter a marathon right away.
Not at this point. Not at this point. Yeah, you're exactly right. I have what's called a Jeff Galloway's Couch to 5K program. So that's for someone who just never run before and to get you to the distance of 5K. And then I have a program that gets you to the 10K. The marathon program that most of my runners have run, there is the prerequisite to starting that program. It's a 16-week program. Is you have to be up to comfortably 20 miles a week of running or comfortably doing a 10K. So again, there are some prerequisites. So again, so it's not like somebody can just, like I said, come off the couch and say, I'm gonna run a marathon, so definitely.
I think that's great distinction and overview of this idea of taking steps.
Yeah.
And again, having the big vision though.
Yeah.
So if they come to you and say, "Hey, I want to run the marathon," you say, "It's great. Let's have that on the vision board, if you will. That's the overarching goal, but let's get you here first, and let's
Yeah.
build on that." And I think whether it's a marathon, whether it's, like you say, if it's health, whether it's financial, we need those
Exactly.
wins, right? Because that's what's
We
going to.
need those wins. Absolutely. Absolutely. You need those wins. There's the mental, psychological point, and there's the physiological too. If you don't not careful, you can get injured, you can get hurt. Taking on too much. And in the professional world, in your other goals of life, you can get burnt out because, or you can get you're taking on something, and you know, discouragement sets in because you've taken on something too much. That's too great, too fast. I mean, if somebody wants to lose 100 pounds in 2 weeks, that is not healthy. That's not realistic. That's not, you've got to break it up in smaller pieces. Let's see if we can lose maybe 5 pounds in 2 weeks or whatever it might be, and develop some momentum there on your way to the bigger goal. If someone happens to need to lose 100 pounds to get to a better place in their health. So,
That's
yeah, so
great.
it's a, it, it, there's a crossover physiologically, there's a crossover psychologically, mentally, emotionally. Relationships are another thing. I mean, I have people with that have come to me in some of my goal settings, say, I want to have better relationships in with my family. Okay, so how do we measure that? How do we put that together? So I've helped people put together what we call behavior activity goals. So it's and over the next 30 days, my kids, before they leave for school, are going to get a hug from me. I'm going to tell them I love them. I'm going to not let them just run out the door. So that's going to be a symbol of, establishing a closer, healthier relationship I have with my kids, because, or I'm going to take time at night, 10 minutes a day, whatever that time is. I'm going to sit down, have an uninterrupted conversation. Cell phone is off or whatever. I'm going to have a conversation with my kids about how their day went to school. And so those are activity things that, as I build and hit those activity goals for the next 30 days, I'm going to be faithful to doing this so many minutes a day. Then, where I'm going with this is relationships, as you know, they don't get built overnight. I mean, especially if one is struggling right now, it's not like tomorrow everything's you have you got to put in those seeds, and you got to it over time build it back up. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I think in our world, our culture, even especially, and you talked about our country, which is, I agree, amazing. Our opportunities are endless, but we also have this incessant need now to like have things right now, right? Like we just, because everything moves so quickly now. We have
Right.
access to information like we've never had. I can get an answer to anything, right? In like 10 seconds, I can just find the answer probably. But when it comes to a big goal, I think we're looking for a shortcut. We're looking for the path of least resistance, maybe.
Yeah.
And there's just
No, you bring up a good.
something about going through this process, I think, of struggling, of persevering, of facing setbacks, of realizing that, hey, it's going to take some small steps repeated consistently, and over a
Yes.
long period of time, I'm going to see results, as opposed to, oh, I'm going to do a short, take a shortcut, and I'm going to get results quickly. Thoughts on that?
You bring up a good point, Jeremy. I mean, there are certain things in life you just cannot rush and expect a good result. There are certain things that simply take time. As we mentioned, the building relationships, get to a stronger as a leader with your team or at that home, that takes time. Healing from an injury. Trust me, I know it takes time. I can't rush that one. taking somebody through a management development training program. Okay, I don't want to rush that. I want to make sure somebody goes the proper steps to get the training. Maybe I am looking for a new key leader for an important business in my business. I don't want to rush that, because if I rush that, I risk getting a poor result. So that's going to take some time. A new building project. Again, you got to get the foundation in. You got to, So the buildings just don't go up overnight. Losing weight the healthy way, that takes time. Building customer loyalty in your business, that doesn't happen overnight. That takes time. So there are certain things in life that it just it's if I rush trying to get the result I want right away, I risk possibly getting a negative result.
Yep, for sure. Let's talk a little bit about the leadership context, the organizational environment, working on team,
Yeah.
leading your own company, whatever the context might be, but this idea of leading and getting people to a better place. I think that's what leadership, we would
Yeah.
probably agree, should be about, right? We're
Right.
about results, we're about performance, we're about company growth, organizational growth, but we're also really about hopefully people growth and how leaders can move people to a better place
Right.
Professionally and personally, I think great leaders do that.
Yep.
Where do you start when you say you engage with a leader, a team, and they say, "Hey, Pete, we want to fix this, or we got to get better with culture, or we got to, like you said, customer service, loyalty, I mean, whatever the maybe the area of emphasis is, where do you start with them? Like what is kind of your process for clarifying, hey, this is the goal, and now this is the path to get us there. What does that look like for you and when you engage with someone?
Yeah, great question. A lot there, but I like to start with just first of all, again, I focus on building that relationship. Leadership is about influence, and the stronger the relationship you have with someone, the greater your ability to influence. So I want to get to know who I'm working with, who again with the client or got my team. I want to understand them, understand where they are, understand their perceptions of self. Because again, as we get into things, I do want to find out what is it that you believe about you? What is it that you believe about your ability to get to where you want to go? What is it that you believe about your organization? So as I'm working with individual person coaching or working with a group that's looking for some help, wanting to find out again and listen and understand, people will further engage with someone they know, like, and trust. And so I want to earn their trust. I want to build that relationship, and keep the integrity high. And then from there, just kind of get to know the team, the organization, a little history of where they've been, what has happened, what are the processes, what has worked, what seems to have been successful, what seems to have been a challenge, and then go from there. So again, it's like, and sometimes it's reestablishing a vision, reestablishing where they want to go. Sometimes they've lost their way. They're not sure what they want. They're not sure what the vision is. In some cases, every company, most companies have a mission statement. And there are some employees or some organizations where the employees are very much engaged with the mission. And some others that are not so engaged with the mission, or don't know what the mission is. And so that's important, of where they are with the mission. Because again, I'll go into one of my, when I teach a passion for service, that class is about establishing employees that are engaged with the mission. There are some employees are purpose driven, some employees are function driven. So if you've got an employee that's function driven, that means I come into work, I do what I do, I take care of payroll, I do the accounting, I do whatever that. So this is a function focus versus, you know what? Yeah, I work in payroll, but ultimately what I do helps drive the mission of delivering exceptional customer service experience. So even though I'm not on the front counter in the restaurant, what I do helps the organization with delivering that exceptional customer service at the front counter, because I support that. So there's a big difference between being purpose driven and functionally driven.
Yeah, huge. And I think the challenge for leaders is how do you get folks on your team to be more purpose driven?
Right.
I wonder, going back to something you said earlier, you were talking about this idea that people have more in them.
Yeah.
Just potential, whether it's, again, it's running a marathon, or whether it's how I show up to work, and how I engage, and how I use my skills and my abilities. How can leaders tap into that? Do you have any thoughts on how, as a leader, can I help my team member, one, realize that they have more in them, and then two, how do I help pull it out of them? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great question. And again, that's why it's important to start off kind of knowing kind of where the core motivations are with that employee joining my team, joining the company, doing what they're doing, finding out what are they interested in. And I'll listen too for When I first joined the company 10 years ago, I thought I was going to, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that anymore. I'll listen for little comments like that that say, I've kind of given up on this. And so I want it, it's obviously I want it to be in their heart. I don't want them to be driven for something because Pete says you should be. It's got to be in your heart. So I want to see where you're at, and I want to inspire your heart. I don't want to, I don't want to, I want you to want to run the marathon or to go for that career position that you're looking for, or to achieve whatever, financial, personal, whatever that goal is. Now you're going to have some people that say, Pete, I'm fine. And I've had employees work for me that have no interest in getting involved in management. They just want to be a bartender the rest of their life, and that's fine. So if that's the case, if I have somebody who says, I am happy in my current position, I have no desire, okay, then what I'm going to do is I want to say, okay, how can you be the very best at what you do? How can you still, and you can still be a leader, even though in leadership is about influence. So it's, you don't have to be, because I know I've had some employees tell me, Pete, I see as restaurant managers how many hours you work, and I have no interest in it. I get it. I understand. And coming from the restaurant world, I'm speaking from that perspective there. But you know what? I want to help you be the best, the best line cook, the best server, the best, and just still have that heart and that purpose-driven motivation to be the best and drive company results. And my goal is to, on a here it is on a Friday evening. I got 800 guests coming in tonight. I want to handle this party of 800 coming in. I want to give them the best experience. So that can be my goal. I may not have a goal to ascend to manager or director or whatever it might be into a new position, but my goal is to deliver the best I can deliver that night, and or that or for whatever that shift. I know I'm talking restaurant terms here, but that's my background. But whatever it is, to be the best. So if I do run into an employee, for those leaders that say, I'm not interested, and I still want to provide them growth. I still want to provide them training. And so when training comes, when there's an opportunity to train, I want to help them get and help them be the best person they can be. Okay, in at the work and outside of work, to be the best they can be in who they are.
Excellent. And I think great leaders are intentional about learning that about each of their team members. Well,
Yes.
what are your
Yeah.
goals? Where are you trying to go? And maybe it is that they're looking to move on to something else, maybe at another company. But I think if I'm a leader that really cares about this person, I'm going to help them, right, get to where they want to go. And
Absolutely.
I don't know, just anecdotally, I don't have any stats on this, but I think there's probably a certain amount of leaders out there that aren't that concerned about the individual, right, as far as their goals, their aspirations, where they want to go. What do you
That's
think?
true. That is true. And again, I will share real world conversation I've had with other managers in my in the restaurant world, and my management team as I was a general manager. And I heard this comment one time, said, Pete, I wish I could be involved in some of the other, outside organizations, nonprofit charities that you work with or whatever. But I don't have time. I'm working so many hours at a restaurant, I don't have time to do those kinds of things to impact our community. So I said, well, let's reframe our thinking here. Because as you in the restaurant work with your teams to develop them to be the best they can be, and maybe they don't stay long term in the restaurant world, maybe they graduate from college and they move on to something else, you're impacting the world by how you develop that employee what as they are working for you. So your influence, your opportunity to have an impact on how the world is, a community impact, a world impact, is influenced by how you treat your employees, how you take care of them, because no, they may not stay with you long term, but you're preparing them for their next journey. And also you're helping them to hopefully be a better father, better mother, better teacher, better, a person in the community. And so I, with some of my manager, that helped to kind of open up their thinking of, I'm not just running a restaurant, but I really am influencing the world, even though I can't maybe dedicate and be a part of an organization as a volunteer board or something like that. What I do in my restaurant is impacting the community. Oh, by the way, when I serve guests and I take care of guests out there, what am I doing? Okay. Again, look at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Sure.
And look at the kind of influence they've had on the world, okay, for the kind of organization they are and the kind of service they provide.
Yes.
So,
Great example.
yeah.
Great example. Talk a little bit about this idea of revitalization. I know that's something
Yeah.
that is part of what you do. This idea, you talk about revitalizing positive spirit and engagement so
Yeah.
teams can perform at higher levels. Talk about that a little bit.
Great, great question. Well, when you look at the term revitalize, in the middle of the spelling of the word revitalize, you have VITA, Vita. Vita comes from the Greek word life. And so if I'm going to revitalize something, I'm going to put new life into it. I'm going to put new vigor, new energy into it. Because for most of us, what we do as leaders in our professions, in our careers, it takes energy. It takes physical energy, it takes emotional energy, it takes mental energy, it takes physical or it takes spiritual energy. And so we get tired, and that's okay to be tired, but it's important that we have good practices in place to help us rebound, to get our energy back. And so when I teach on revitalization, and I actually have a program called 10 Keys to Personal Revitalization, what that is, it's teaching folks on what are the disciplines of life, what are the practices that I can do to make sure that I rebound and get my energy back mentally, physically, and emotionally, and spiritually. So the revitalization, again, we all go through times. I'm in back to the marathon. After a training run, I'm spent. I need to have good practices in place to rebound, to recover well, so I'm ready for the next morning or ready for whenever the next run is. Ready to do it and to have be fully 100% ready to go again. So that's what we mean by revitalization. In our world of work, no question about it, it's stress out there. There's a lot going on. There's a lot being asked of us, a lot of pressures and different stresses coming from different parts, different angles and whatnot. So it's important that we have some good things in place to help deal with that so that we're not in a place of burnout. We're not in a place of always feeling like we're tired and we can never catch up. So
Yeah.
that's what we mean by revitalization. And that's what I did for Olive Garden. That was the project I worked on for 4 years. Is that was a major, one of the largest projects in the history of Olive Garden, where we revitalized our buildings, but we also revitalized our teams. We wanted to have new spirit, new energy, new culture. And so that's
Yeah.
what we mean by revitalization, putting new life and energy. I mean, that's kind of the how things work in our lives. We get tired, but we've got, we rebound, we revitalize.
I would guess that a lot of leaders would say, "Hey, that sounds good. I need some new life, some new energy in my team, and I want that." They say that, but then doing it is another thing. Any thoughts, just maybe a few tips? What are some things a leader could do that are very practical to bring a little bit of revitalization? I realize it's a process. It is probably a marathon, but what are some steps based on what you've done with teams that someone could do as a leader to help bring a little revitalization?
I've got a number of things. I'm going to try to
Yeah.
condense this here. But first of all, again, I can't emphasize enough taking that time to, it's one thing to meet with your team, it's another thing to meet individually. So I always try to, with my teams, obviously, I'm connecting every day, but take time for those one-on-ones. Sit down. How you doing? A quarterly conversation. What are you thinking? What's going on? How you feeling about things? How you feeling about your career? Those kinds of things. When you do them, it demonstrates a care. I'm personally, and again, obviously, it's got to come from your heart as a leader. So check your own heart as you're out there leading your team there. To make sure you come across authentically and say, I'm not doing this because Pete Folk said I asked you to do it, or this is kind of what the company's asking us to do. No, I'm doing it because I care about you. And so have those meetings. I would say when if have very tangible ways of keeping touch with and listening in terms of getting feedback, whether it's suggestion boxes or just town halls, in terms of finding out where what the pulse is. Make your meetings fun. Make your meetings energizing for the employees. You would just it'd be you'd be amazed just how just adding a little activity. And again, I've seen meetings where it gets a little too far the other direction. But bring put some music in there. When I proposed to the Olive Garden E team what we're going to do with Repitalia, it was the first time anybody's ever proposed a meeting or proposed, excuse me, proposed a presentation with music, because I wanted to energize the presentation. So those kinds of things, involving your employees in implementation is always re-energizing in terms of whenever you're rolling out something new, getting them involved in the change process is good. Talk about the mission again, as you powwow with your employees, remind people who we are, what we're all about, and make sure that they know what they do counts. I would say the most powerful two-word phrase in the English language for a leader is thank you. Expressing those thank yous. I just want to let you know, I appreciate the 17 years that you've been here. I know it doesn't get said very often, but I appreciate that. Yesterday I appreciate you taking on pinch hitting for me at that meeting. I had to step out. You took on. I thank you for that, or thank you for the way you handled that guest. I had a chance to listen to that on the phone, and that was you turned what could have been a negative situation into very positive. So thank you for doing that. So, those words of appreciation go a long way.
Huge. And everything you just said are those things are within a leader's power and ability to implement, and they don't cost anything.
They don't. They don't. And if you could, those of you that are leaders listening to this right now, if you can imagine a big oak tree, okay? So, and on the oak, or let's just say the elm tree, whatever the tree is, and you've got the fruit of engagement on the tree. You've got the fruit of teamwork on the tree. You've got the fruit of vitality on the tree. Well, that tree didn't happen overnight. It has some good solid roots in the ground. The ground has been watered and fertilized. So what you're doing as a leader is you are planting those seeds in the ground. Okay, you are fertilizing that ground so that the byproduct of what we don't always see overnight, what's going on under the ground. We will plant the seeds, we'll fertilize, we'll water, and you may not see results overnight. But as you continue to express words of appreciation, as you continue to listen to your employees and let them know how valuable they are and get them involved and make sure there are tangible ways that you're listening to them and making sure that they're purpose driven. All of that is going to net itself into a tree that's going to come out of the ground, and a healthy tree that's going to have that fruit of teamwork, vitality, enthusiasm, engagement, commitment, people that want to be there. So I hopefully
Great.
that's a good word picture for you, that kind of what I'm doing is I'm helping to grow that tree by doing what I'm doing as a leader. I'm planting those seeds in there, the ground.
It's an excellent visual, and to the point again of taking steps sometimes that might seem small, that might not even seem significant, but these deposits we make, whether again it's something like as a leader and working on my team, or whether it's me pursuing my goal to get in better shape, to run a marathon, to work on my finances. It's these small deposits and repeating, right? This repeatable behavior, creating these habits that will, over the course of time, consistently implemented, will get me to my goal, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, one other thing, it's Jeremy, and this may cost just a little bit of money here, but one of the things I found in my career at Olive Garden and my career and as I consult and work with other organizations, make sure that the equipment and tools that your employees are working with are in good shape. I'll put it that way. It is a frustration for employees to be working on a computer that continually fails all the time, or I have to reboot it, or I've got insufficient tools to do my job. So if I'm doing what I can to make sure that the tools that my employees have, and that's part of empowerment. Part of empowerment is making sure your employees have the tools to do their job well. And so I want to make sure that the programming, my software is up to date, and they've got the appropriate technology and appropriate whatever means, cell phones, whatever it is, to make sure that they're set up for success to do their job, versus working with outdated equipment or just not having the tools prop the proper tools to execute their job, or I've got phones that are cutting off or whatever it might be, that making sure that the equipment that your employees are working with are in good shape.
Point well taken. And yes, that we need to invest money too. And I mentioned those earlier as things that don't cost anything, because a lot of times that is the objection. Oh, we don't have the resources. We don't have the funds. But you're right. We've got to invest our time and resources, dollars into making sure we create environments where people can succeed, where they feel like they're appreciated, and that they have what they need to carry out their tasks and their jobs successfully. So, excellent point. But as we wrap here, this has been very enlightening, very energizing, revitalizing. So many great,
Good.
great takeaways here, Pete. I thought I'd just bring it back full circle to, we're just talking here about this idea of getting people from idea, goal, vision to actually some sort of action. Taking a step. So what would your encouragement be, whether it's an individual seeking to accomplish a goal in their life right now, or maybe they've given up on their New Year's resolution or the thing they want to change, or whether it's a leader trying to accomplish something in their role with their team, their organization. What would you say as far as some encouragement on a step or steps people could take today to get back on track, get focused on pursuing the goal that they set out for themselves?
Great, great question there, Jeremy. First of all, you don't have to wait till New Year's to set your resolution. So if you've or set your goal, because that can happen anytime. And
Yes.
if you set a goal for New Year's and you haven't made it or haven't stayed with it, you know what? I'll quote you another one of my favorite quotes. Zig Ziglar says, "Failure is an event and not a person. Yesterday ended last night. Today begins a brand new day." So once again, today's a new day. Just remind yourself today's a new day to get started again. And I could we don't have time, but I can quote you stories of Walt Disney and Michael Jordan, other folks out there that have had to overcome some incredible failure, coming short of the goal before they realize their goal, their dream. So just persevere. Do not give up. We talked about it before, but once again, it's important to surround yourself with folks that are going the same direction that will encourage you and support you. I always advise to write it down. If there's something about writing it down or typing it in your computer or making it, put it on your cell phone, so you've got something there that that is a reminder. You've got your action plan put together. Obviously, things can change, and so you can make adjustments. But I also would encourage you to, how do I place? I just positive input. Manage the television, manage the radio, manage your social media, manage all the inputs that we have out there. I'm not saying don't listen to the news. We all need to be informed, but I think sometimes we have so much negativity thrown at us that it can cause us to kind of give up and say, what's the worth of trying? Look what's going on out there, whatever. So it's not like I'm turning a blind eye to what the realities of the world are, but we need to have positive message. I regularly will recommend movies to my runners to or sections of movies they can look up on YouTube that show powerful moments of triumph, powerful moments of people overcoming the odds. And those are positive stories that you plant in your mind, and you kind of reframe your mind and reframe your thinking into, you know what, I do believe this is possible. Okay, why am I giving up on this? This is within the realm of possibility. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do it. So I would say also just positive input is so important. What you and how you talk about yourself. I know we were out of time here, but I do self declarations in the morning. I talk to myself in the morning. I make declarations about who I am and who I'm becoming. I do that every morning as I have my quiet time and such. I make declarations about who I am and I speak it out loud so that my mind, my heart is hearing it out loud. I'm speaking it to myself, and it's so important in this, given all the things that we're up against here, it is very important.
It is fantastic takeaways, and that's a great way to end. And that idea of what is our self-talk and being intentional. And that's what I'm hearing. Everything you're sharing is this idea of being intentional, having a plan, executing it day in, day out. And again, repeating that over time, knowing that the totality of that sustained over that period of time is going to get us to where we want to be. And so I think your insights and words of encouragement are tremendous, Pete. So thanks for sharing with us. Talk about real quick where folks can find you online should they want to connect with you more and engage with what you're doing.
Thank you, Jeremy. And it's been a pleasure to be able to share this morning here. Second Wind Finish Strong. I actually just completed a brand new website rebuild. And so Second Wind Finish Strong. I'm also on LinkedIn. And so you can find me on LinkedIn. My cell phone, 407-733-8121. If you want to get in touch with me that way. But I'd love to help you with whatever, if it's a keynote or if you have a meeting where you want to take an hour of the day or a couple hours in the afternoon to focus on some leadership development for your team. I'd love to do that. Or some individual one-on-one coaching. I'd love to help you with that need there. So again, my attitude is always, I'm serving you. You are my guest. So it's my role to serve and support you with your needs personally, with your needs from a leadership development standpoint. So anyway, that's how to get in touch with me.
Excellent. Thanks so much for sharing that. And yes, I encourage everyone to connect with you. You're very, very active on LinkedIn and are very intentional there, even about engaging with others. I've noticed over time you're always commenting and sharing words of encouragement to others, which is noticed and appreciated. So thanks for all you're doing, and appreciate this time and your insight. Thanks, Pete.
Well, thank you again, Jeremy. Thank you all who are listening to this. And again, have a fantastic rest of your day.